speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Did you ever say to your child, "You are not listening"? There were many times in our marriage of 53 years when Molly would say to me, "You are not listening to me." Sometimes I would be thinking about an assignment or watching an exciting ball game when she wanted to tell me something. I say with shame, she was right. There were times when I was not listening. Children need to listen to their parents and teachers. Husbands and wives should listen to each other. Worshippers should give attention to what the preacher is saying. Tragically, there are times when we are preoccupied with other matters and have difficulty listening to anyone. V. Howard started the International Gospel Hour in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in 1934. He preached on the program for more than 61 years. His favorite expression, which he repeated over and over to get people's attention, was, "Are you listening?" In fact, he used the expression so often that some people thought the name of the program was, "Are you listening?" When I became the speaker in 1995, I had a number of people to ask, "Are you going to say, 'Are you listening?'" I explained that I would not feel comfortable using that expression, although it was very effective for Brother Howard. I am concerned that the people in every audience, including our radio audience, are listening to the messages I preach from God's Word. I work every day to try to make the messages as challenging, scriptural, and appealing as I have the ability to make them. God called the prophet Jeremiah to warn the Israelites of the danger of falling away and being conquered by the Babylonians. Jeremiah declared, "Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die, from the least even to the greatest, by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an oath, a horror, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish them who dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah that have gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Then all the men who knew their wives and burned incense unto other gods, and all the women who stood by, a great multitude, even all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. Jeremiah 44:11-16. Jeremiah also wrote, Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Jeremiah 7:26. About 150 years before Jeremiah began his prophetic ministry, God told Isaiah, Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to seers, See not, and to the prophets, Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth or pleasant things. Prophesy deceits, get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isaiah 30:8-11. If you listen to this reading from Jeremiah, you could hardly keep from noticing that the Jews had no doubt the prophet was speaking the very words of the Lord. They said, As for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. Jeremiah 44:16. If the Jews knew Jeremiah was speaking the very words of God, how could they say, We will not listen to you? How can intelligent people reject the message if they believe it originated with God? Our brief study today will be devoted to the theme, "We Will Not Listen." We're not surprised, or should not be, when atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, and other unbelievers refuse to listen to God's Word. But it is very troubling when professed believers in God and in His Word will not listen. Can we find in the Scriptures and from our own experiences the reasons many people, including some devoutly religious people, do not listen to God's revelation of His will in the Bible? I urge you to think with me about some of those reasons. The book of Acts closes with the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. He believed he was not receiving a fair trial among the Jews. Since he was a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal to Caesar. While he was in prison, there was a day when many people came to his lodging. He expounded and testified to them about the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some did not believe. And when they did not agree among themselves, they departed, after Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, "Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Acts 28:23-27. Was the gospel message so difficult the hearers could not understand it? Luke quotes Paul as saying, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross." The English Standard Version renders that expression, "For this people's heart is grown dull." The author of Hebrews uses a different Greek word for dull, but the basic message is the same. The Hebrew Christians had not understood the removal of the Levitical priesthood and the establishment of the priesthood of Melchizedek. The inspired author could not get them to understand because they were dull of hearing. Hebrews 5:10-11. How many people today refuse to hear or to believe because their hearts are dull? We should have the attitude of the Bereans. Now these, that is the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Acts 17:11. The Bereans were not gullible. They searched the Scriptures daily. They had a burning desire to know the truth. They did not want to be misled, not even by men who were apostles. It is only with this attitude that we can fully understand the will of God as revealed in the Bible. There are today, and there always have been, people who think they know more than the Lord. They will not listen because they are arrogant. Paul had such people in mind when he wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Romans 1:18-23. But are there people who think they are wiser than God? Unfortunately, the numbers are legion. In 1965, Leslie Weatherhead, one of the 20th century's most influential English Methodist preachers, wrote a book he called The Christian Agnostic. Is not the very title of the book an oxymoron? Weatherhead argues, it is no good saying, as Billy Graham repeatedly does, the Bible says. I agree with Blumhardt when he says, it may say what it likes in the Bible. On this point, I am greater than the Bible. I admit it is in the Bible. But in the end, I must know what is true of God, and not what a man once put into such and such words 2,000 years ago. Page 196. Weatherhead says he regards the late T.S. Eliot as much more inspired than the author of the Song of Solomon. Page 199. It is my considered judgment that T.S. Eliot would have been offended by such foolishness. I need to remind you of Paul's observation. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22. If a man thinks the Bible is full of myths, contradictions, and lies, as many liberal theologians do, why would any sane man want to see what the Bible teaches on any topic? No one is more arrogant than men like Leslie Weatherhead and John Shelby Spong, who deny the inspiration and authority of the Bible. No man is more arrogant than the one who elevates his ideas above the Word of God. Arrogant men and women will not likely humble themselves and listen to what God reveals in His Word. When men and women have no intention of changing their lives to harmonize with the teaching of Scripture, they are not going to listen to the Lord. For example, if a man is addicted to pornography and has no desire to change, he will disregard what Christ taught in His great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus told His disciples, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Some of the Jewish leaders asked Jesus why His disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders by not washing their hands before eating. Jesus explained, those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Matthew 15:2-18-20. Millions in our culture engage in adultery and apparently think they are being modern and sophisticated when they do so. If there are adulterers or adultery sympathizers in our audiences, how many of them want to hear these words? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5:5. How many of you believe Joel Osteen or Robert Shuler would even read these words? But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8. If either of these men preach scriptural sermons on passages like these, would their audiences next Sunday be as large as they were today? How can a preacher deliberately avoid any topic and pretend to be preaching the whole counsel of God? How many audiences, especially Robert Shuler's Hollywood audiences, will listen to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Stubbornness can be a hindrance to listening and to obeying what the Bible teaches. There are people, and always have been, who know the truth, but they are so stubborn they will not obey it. That is not being complimentary of human behavior, but all of us know it is true. The King James Version of the Bible does not use the word stubborn very often, but some of the newer versions do. For example, the English Standard Version uses the words stubborn, stubbornly, or stubbornness 33 times. The author of 2 Kings says the prophets and seers warned the Israelites. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord their God. 2 Kings 17:13-14. The English Standard Version employs the word stubborn rather than the expression harden their necks. Do you remember that the Bible classifies stubbornness in the same category as idolatry? The prophet Samuel told King Saul, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." 1 Samuel 15:23. The Lord pled with the Israelites, "Listen to me, you of stubborn heart, who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory." Isaiah 46:12-13. There are many people who are prejudiced against the gospel of Christ. Through the years, they have listened to the vocal critics of Christianity, or they have seen poor examples of what Christianity is supposed to be. Great numbers of those people have not taken the time to examine on their own the teachings of Scripture. Tragically, they have made up their minds without knowing all the facts. That is a pretty good definition of prejudice. The word prejudice involves making up one's mind without having all the information one needs. For example, we may accuse persons of another race of committing certain crimes before we have all the information we need to make a determination. Most of us probably have to work very hard to keep from being prejudiced toward people of other races or of different socioeconomic backgrounds or of other religious convictions. It is not unusual to hear someone say, "Members of Churches of Christ do not believe in music." It is true, we do not believe the Bible authorizes the use of mechanical instruments of music in the worship of the church. But it is false to argue or to imply that we do not believe in music. We believe in using the kind of music the New Testament authorizes, singing. Paul commanded the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Colossians 3:16. Sometimes critics of Churches of Christ accuse us of believing in water salvation. I have been a member of the Church of Christ for more than 65 years and have preached the gospel for more than 63 years. I know hundreds of preachers among Churches of Christ and thousands of members. Not one time in all of these years have I ever heard a member of the church speak of water salvation. No knowledgeable member of the church believes there is any power in the water of baptism to save anyone. It is our obedience to the Lord in water baptism that saves. The Apostle Peter makes that truth very plain. "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ." 1 Peter 3:21. Tragically, prejudice prevents many people from listening to the truth of the gospel. Woe to those preachers and other church leaders who promote prejudice toward others. I am convinced by my study of the Scriptures and by observation that some people do not listen because they really do not care what the Scriptures teach. Many of God's people under the Mosaic Covenant were indifferent to the teaching and pleading of God's faithful prophets. Isaiah pled with his fellow Israelites, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider." Isaiah 1:2-3. Hundreds and hundreds of times the prophets begged God's people, "Hear the word of the Lord." Many times, in fact, most of the time, the people ignored the pleadings of the prophets. They responded either in words or by their actions, "We are not going to listen." As the Israelites were preparing to enter the land God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, Moses warned the Israelites about the dangers of failing to listen to God's servants, the prophets. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes that I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Deuteronomy 28:15. The Lord Jesus Christ wrote seven letters to seven churches of Asia Minor. In each of these letters, the Lord demanded, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 2:6, for example. Our Lord emphasized the absolute necessity of listening to the Spirit if those churches were going to remain faithful to Him. Do we believe we can be faithful and productive if we do not take heed to the Spirit's revelation of God's will in the Bible? Thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless and keep you.